They went out and told everyone they met about Jesus. Then there were those ordinary fishermen. They were weak. They were failed individuals. They weren't very good at a lot of stuff. They let themselves down and they let each other down on regular occasions. And then they met Jesus. And you know, they were still ordinary fishermen. They still made mistakes. They were still weak. But they knew Jesus. And with his power and help, and with the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, they were able to spread the good news. And they helped change the world. It's amazing. Many who met him followed him. Not all, though. There's a story of 10 lepers who come to Jesus, and Jesus heals them all, and they go off. One comes back and says, thank you. The other 9, well, perhaps they were so taken up with how great it was to be healed that they forgot who healed them. Or perhaps they were just so taken up with themselves that they just wanted to get on with life. There's the story of a rich young ruler who comes to see Jesus and asks him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him that he's got to lay aside his wealth. And he couldn't cope with that. That was a too challenging a scenario for him. He couldn't cope with the cost of following Jesus. So for some, it's too challenging. But for most, it's absolutely life-changing. I want us to look at one story in particular. It's in John chapter 4. It's a familiar story for many. It's going to come up on the screen. But if you have Bibles, then do feel free to follow it in that. And I'm reading from the New International Version, in case you've got a different one. It's John chapter 4, and we're going to start reading at verse 4. Basically, Jesus is on the road. He's traveling from Judea to Galilee, and he's going through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the 6th hour. That would be about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And then going down to verse 39. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world. That's a great story. We're just going to spend 5 minutes thinking about that. So here was a woman coming to draw water at a well, and I suspect she wasn't expecting to meet Jesus that day. She's probably doing something she's been doing every day for many, many, many days, weeks, months, and years. This is routine. She comes to the water, to the well, to draw water. She probably wasn't expecting to meet Jesus for a number of other reasons as well. First of all, she was a woman. Says that quite clearly here. She's a woman. Jesus is a man. And culturally, at that time, it really wasn't appropriate for a woman and a man to be seen together, out in public, talking. It just wasn't the done thing. She was a Samaritan. He was a Jew. And those guys had history. They really didn't like each other. The Jews did everything they possibly could to avoid the Samaritans, and vice versa. So this was an unexpected meeting for many, many reasons. He opens the conversation. And very quickly, he sees that her need is greater than his for water. The conversation quickly changes from a need for something physical, something to drink, to something moral, the situation with her husbands, to something spiritual. Jesus tells the woman exactly who she is. He reveals to her that he knows that she's actually not got a husband at the moment. She's already had 5. And that she's currently living with someone else who's not her husband. Now, that might seem excessive. In fact, the Jews reckon that 3 was probably enough. That was sort of acceptable to have been divorced a couple of times. But 5, I mean, that's just going beyond the pale, really. The conversation has turned to the moral. It then goes on to the theological. I don't know if this is a distraction on behalf of the woman, but she starts talking about a theological matter, about worship, about the fact that the Samaritans worship on this mountain and the Jews worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus introduces this lovely idea that worship is not about a place. It's not about where we go to worship. It's about who we worship. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. And then Jesus drops the bombshell. He reveals himself to be the coming Messiah. He has come. The woman knew that this Messiah was to come. He then says, well, it's me. I'm here. And her reaction is, well, I wonder what our reaction would be under those circumstances. She says, could this be the Christ? It's like she doesn't know. She's not sure. Although it sounds like there's a longing in that. Could this really be the one that we've been waiting for? Could this be him? Could this be? But her reaction is to immediately go and tell others. She goes back to the town and she starts telling everyone she meets about the person she's just met. In fact, she goes so quickly that she leaves her water jar behind. This is the water jar that she's been coming to the well with day after day to get the water to take back, to drink from. She leaves it there. And I wonder if that is a sign that she's already accepted the living water, that she sees that water jar as that's her old life. That's done with now. She's got living water. She recognizes the Messiah, the Christ, the one who is to come into the world to save sinners. The consequence of her meeting Jesus, even though we're not sure exactly about her, although we have our suspicions, is that many believed her story and came to know Jesus. And then we're told that even more believed when they heard Jesus for himself. So excited were they by what they heard from this woman that they wanted to meet him for themselves. And when they did, they became believers. They met him and they believed and they became followers of Jesus. Now, this isn't just a story. You know, this is something that happened. This was a real woman in a real place and a real point in time. And we're given this account, John goes on to tell us later in his gospel, that these things, he says, are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So there's a point to these stories. Nevertheless, it happened 2,000 years ago. Doesn't mean it's any less true. But I think it'd be really good to appreciate and understand that Jesus' story didn't end there. That 2,000 years on, we're still able to meet this Christ. And that meeting him makes a difference. So I thought, rather than giving you lots more examples from way back then, we'd encourage ourselves by hearing some examples of what God is doing now.